Hey, good morning. How you gentlemen doing?
Yeah, and I'm feeling for you too, man, because you got a newsletter to get out too. So we'll make this, this will be the quickest 15 minutes in your life.
I have said that to, let's say, certain females.
Oh, now you're bragging. Oh, man. We'll go more pro because you spent a lot of college. But there's a question I want to ask you because the commoners pay attention to comparative scores. But I just, one that happened 2 weeks ago Sunday, the Ravens go to Baltimore and win by two touchdowns. The Colts come to the Titans and win going away in the second half. Then the Titans go to the Ravens, which just beat the Colts, which just beat the Titans, and win there. Do you ever look at, in a condensed time frame, comparative scores, or is that just something you don't mess with?
No, I do, because what happens is you usually can identify market overreactions due to recency bias, but I do it all the time to compare the lines for – you know, the most recent games, obviously, especially in a 2020 type of season, things can change over the course of 4 to 6 weeks. But anytime I can compare stuff in the last couple of weeks and maybe identify what I perceive to be some market overreaction, I do it all the time. And I mean, one thing, I mean, it's a staple of my handicapping. There's a thing called a look-ahead line. So right now, you can bet next week's NFL games in Vegas and a lot of other shops. So that look-ahead line, I usually use that, and when we finally get to next Monday, I compare that line to see if there are any overreactions to what I just saw on Sunday, if that makes any sense. It's been profitable for me long-term. Hasn't worked out for me so much this year in 2020, but I think long-term that's a good method to use.
There you go. But we were talking about that yesterday, John, and I said, I'm going to ask Brad, yep. And so I did. Now you can ask him a question.
Oh, thank you. May I?
Yeah. Please do there, John.
Thanks, Greg. Three NFL games tomorrow, Brad, and I'm looking at this Ravens-Steelers game. Steelers by 5.5. I think the Ravens ship be sinking, first of all, even before their top two running backs came down with COVID. I like the Steelers big in this game. I think they want – I used to cover the Steelers. I used to live in Pittsburgh, and trust me, this organization, that fan base, would like nothing more than to basically bury the Ravens season, because I think if they lose tomorrow night, and I'm fully expecting that to happen, I think the Ravens are done. What say you on this game?
Well, I can tell you all the money's on Pittsburgh. And finally, Pittsburgh's starting to kind of get treated like they should. I mean, this is an unbeaten, very public franchise. So what I've been stunned at is I don't necessarily think you've been paying a premium on Pittsburgh games, meaning you haven't been laying an extra point or so just because they're unbeaten and just because of the Steelers. I haven't seen that so far this year. I mean, they've been covering point spreads left and right, the Steelers, outside of pretty much that Dallas game. You know, the meeting between these two teams a couple weeks ago, Baltimore dominated statistically, but obviously Pittsburgh won the game outright. That gives me a little bit of pause, but right now, from what Baltimore has shown me, and they've been relatively inconsistent all year and aren't trending in the right direction, I lean Pittsburgh. And just to throw this out here, in the last 10 years, favorites on Thanksgiving are right around like 67% against the spread, so... Mm.
Wow.
You know, the favorites, for whatever reason, I mean, I have some theories, but they've been really strong on Thanksgiving here in the last decade.
Well, a lot of those is one-third of those every Thanksgiving is the Lions play.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's pretty pathetic that the Lions are at home hosting a Texans team with an interim head coach that's basically hitting the reset button, yet Houston's favored by a field goal. I mean, that's just, to me, that just shows how pathetic the Lions, you know, are and really have been forever.
Yeah, you know, it seemed more pathetic. How about betting the Lions, which I did last week?
Oh, man.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Wow.
I bet him as an underdog. They closed favorite at Carolina, and, you know, 20-0. So, but I will say this. I did see a stat out there this week where if you are coming off a shutout loss in the NFL, in the last 5 years, you are hitting like 75% against the spread in that next game, because the public sees that big goose egg, that zero, and they automatically want to fade that team the next week. I'm not going to say I'm going to have a big bet on Detroit here after what I just endured on Sunday, but I'm not anxious to bet Houston, especially because public perception is going to be really pro Houston after they beat the Pats, and everyone's going to be down on their luck in the Lions. I'm going to hold out and see if I can get maybe a 3.5. I'd actually lean Detroit.
Yeah, and the Lions normally show up for their Thanksgiving day, game. Even when they were going 2-14 with Barry Sanders, usually one of the two games they would win was that Thanksgiving game. So,
well, this could be an elimination game from them too for the playoffs. They're still
Was last week, Greg.
Yeah, well, it's already happened. Yeah. It's already happened.
They're done, like dinner.
They're done.
All
it's
right.
Over.
Well, you
put a fork in them.
Yeah. Brad would put two forks in him if he could. Mm. Brad, it's obviously the Titans go to the Colts rematch of a couple weeks ago. Both teams 7-3 again, coming off good wins. Obviously the Colts. I didn't see the Colts beating the Packers, but they did. Colts are 3.5-point favorites. What I'm looking at. What are you thinking here?
Ooh, a tough one. I want to take Tennessee, but the line just isn't there for me. Keep in mind, Indy closed a favorite at Tennessee in that game on a Thursday night. Even though a short travel week and all that for the Colts, they closed favorite, yet to only see this line 3.5. And really, it's if you're looking at the VIG, what you have to pay, it's 3.5 even. So. If you want to get 3.5 with the Titans now, you got to lay 120 to win $100. That's surprising me. I thought that, Indy'd come a little bit higher, and I wanted to bet the Titans. Tough line. It's right around that key number of 3. If it went to 4, I'm taking Tennessee, but, man, I'm certainly not going to do it now at the current number.
The college football playoffs rankings, the first one. Of course, this is going to be fluid. It came about a month later than usual anyway. Alabama 1, no surprise there. 2, Notre Dame. 3, Clemson. 4, Ohio State. Any thought on those as you compare them to your power ratings? I was listening to you with Bill and just how Alabama sort of separated itself from everybody, really.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem. I mean, if you're going off a combination of most deserving and also best, I mean, those are the 4 teams, at least at this point. Although, I think Florida and Oklahoma are right there in the mix from a pure power ratings aspect right there with Notre Dame. But Alabama, like you mentioned, I said it an hour ago in the last hour, Crimson Tide are separating. It was almost all year. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, they're clearly the best 3 teams. Now, there's a gap between Alabama and even Clemson, Ohio State. I think Alabama would be more than a field goal favorite on a neutral site against Clemson or Ohio State. And that's even with a healthy Trevor Lawrence. I would have Alabama like a 3.5-point favorite. So, yeah, the Tide are, they don't say roll Tide for nothing. And the Tide are really rolling. I mean, 4 straight covers for them. They're playing their best ball this season.
Brad Powers is our guest. Brad, I was listening to a station in Ohio coming into work today, and they're complaining. They think the Buckeyes should be right behind Alabama. I don't know, man. That defense, I mean, Michael Penix Jr. put one on them last week, and Indiana almost came back from a huge deficit. Where are you at overall with Ohio State?
Yeah, they're not as good as last year's team. And I know they didn't win the championship, but I grew up in the state of Ohio, so I've been watching Ohio State football my entire life, and I thought last year's team was the best team that I've ever seen with Ohio State football. It was just from a pure power ratings aspect, and then also you looked at them statistically. I mean, that was as good as it's been for the Buckeyes, and they're not near that this year. They missed J.K. Dobbins at running back. They don't have a Chase Young at defensive end, and their biggest weakness, obviously, is that pass defense, giving up 495 yards. I mean, somebody hadn't done that to the Buckeyes defense since the mid-80s. So they have some issues on that side of the ball, and I think that, they're crying. They're crying and whining there in Ohio because they don't want to play Alabama with the number 4 seed. That's why they think they should be 2 or 3. They don't want to play the Crimson Tide in the semifinal.
Vanderbilt, kind of a monkey wrench into their schedule. They were gearing up to play Tennessee in the rivalry game this week, but the SEC stepped in and said, nope, we're going to make that game up with Missouri. So instead of hosting Tennessee, you're going to go to Missouri. They found out, pretty much late Monday afternoon. They go to Mizzou. They're about 15.5-point underdogs. Vandy's been feisty. How you seeing that game? You think Vandy can cover that?
I like that word that you use, feisty, because, I mean, we talked all year, Vanderbilt's going to be an underdog in every game. They're probably not going to win any games this year. But what I've seen out of the Commodores the last three games, you know, if I was betting them, which I probably should have, I'd have had three cash tickets, easy winners, too. I mean, this is a team that's easily covering some point spreads. All three of their latest covers are by double digits, so they've been more than feisty, and they certainly haven't given up on the season. Yeah, I would, you know, it's not a good spot. I'm going to let the market settle down a little bit because not every single book even has this line posted yet, so I'm anxious to see where it goes, but I'm going to be on Vanderbilt, even though it's a bad spot for them. I'm not anxious to lay this kind of number with a Missouri offense that hasn't topped 20 points in each of the last three games.
Let's play what if, because we were excited around here for Tennessee coming to Vanderbilt, thinking, hey, way Tennessee's look, Vandy, to use John's word, has been feisty. And I think the spread was UT 10.5. What would you have thought about that? I know now they probably won't be playing until December 19th now, but what would you have thought about that at 10.5?
I laid 9 with Tennessee when it was open. From a pure power ratings aspect, probably would have leaned Tennessee. But the more I think about it, man, 10.5 is a bad number to lay with a favorite. So I guess we'll see when we get there. But I did already bet Tennessee when that line got first posted on Sunday. I laid 9. 10.5, maybe I'd take the dog.
Brad Powers with us, bradpowerssports.com, the Bill King link, top right of the page, and at bradpowers7 on Twitter. Notre Dame at North Carolina, that could be, you know, they were saying after Notre Dame beat Clemson, they had two really landmines along the way. One of them the next week against Boston College, they passed that test with flying colors. Now, North Carolina on the road. What do you think about that? I know Notre Dame's got a couple offensive linemen that might be out, but if Notre Dame's going to go down before facing Clemson in the ACC title game, this looks to be it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is by far their toughest game of the remaining three. I mean, they play Wake Forest and Syracuse coming up. So, if they're going to go down, it'll be this one. High variance game. I could see Notre Dame crushing North Carolina. I could see North Carolina winning the game outright. I don't have a strong opinion on the side, and Notre Dame is a 5-point favorite. I do like the over. I mean, I know it sounds square, and it's the second highest total in Notre Dame football history, but, I mean, the Irish have scored 40-plus in back-to-back games for the first time since 1996. North Carolina's offense the last six games is averaging 48 points per game. I know it's a Friday afternoon game, and maybe it's a little slow out of the gates, but I do think there's going to be a lot of points down there. So give me over 68. That's a big total.
You always leave us with some nuggets. You got any for Thanksgiving? Any big old turkey legs you can let us chew on?
Yeah, let me get you one in college. And I am going to go with UCLA, a team I just lost my butt on last year. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, I laid 13.5 with Oregon last week. Line closed 18.5. Usually that would say, hey, you got a pretty good chance of winning. I didn't. UCLA probably should have beaten Oregon outright. So I'm going to take that right now and go back, and maybe, you know, I'm getting fooled here, but I don't think so. I think UCLA is a really good team. The fact that they can almost beat Oregon now with a backup quarterback and several other guys out, now I'm thinking, hey, that first half against Colorado, that's the outlier for UCLA. Since that time, the last 2.5 games, UCLA might be one of the most improved teams in the country. Meanwhile, here's the big value point. Arizona last week, you look at, I know a lot of people don't watch late night games, but you might have looked and saw, oh, they lost by 17 to Washington. You know, the spread was 12 or 13, no big deal for Arizona. Arizona was losing that game 37-0 entering the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Arizona got 300 yards and four scores in the fourth quarter alone in garbage time. So that's misleading. Add it all up, UCLA -9. NFL side of things, you know what? This isn't going to be popular either, but I'm going to lay points with the Dallas Cowboys. You can shop real hard and find 2.5, but I think whatever went down there on that Saturday night with the watermelons might have been a turning point for the Dallas Cowboys season. I certainly think with Andy Dalton back that they're much better at quarterback than what they've been in those couple games. There's still a lot of talented players, and I think on a short week against the Redskins team, that they owe for Andy Dalton getting, you know, pummeled in that game, I think the Cowboys, as long as you can shop real hard and find -2.5, I think they're good on Thanksgiving Day.
Brad, tell all the people to get in touch with you.
BradPowerSports.com, dead top of the page. Click on that Bill King tab. My newsletter, check it out. You can download all past issues for free. And if you like what you see, sign up for the rest of the season. NFL, college football, email to you weekly. BradPowerSports.com, click on that Bill King tab.
Brad, happy Thanksgiving to you. Now get to work.
Yep, absolutely.
Thanks, Brad.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
All right. Brad Powers, of course, that newsletter comes out every Wednesday afternoon. So.